Tom Rowe here at this morning radio show about radio, and we have all sorts of special guests now in the studio. Thatcher Keats is here.
Ahoy.
Thatcher is usually heard the first Sunday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m., is it?
Yeah, 6 to 8, first Sunday of the month.
On the Rancho Thatchmo show.
Yeah.
And who did you bring with you today?
I brought my friend Sharon Mashihi, a radio buddy.
Hello.
And we met at a sort of a cult slash salon slash venue thing, and quickly got into talking about radio. And Sharon can tell you what she does, but she does radio cabaret and does all sorts of legit radio work, and is very interested in sound and narrative,
as opposed to this pretend radio
like
work
that.
Here
It's true, but I'd rather be doing illegitimate radio work.
The illegitimate radio theater. People talk about that. We'll get Sharon's whole bio in a minute, but we don't want to leave out, is it Remus or Remus?
Remus.
I'm saying
Remus.
Remus.
Not Uncle Remus.
No.
I get stuck on that.
Yeah.
And, I'll try the last name. Samaltis?
Samitis. Remus Samitis.
Remus Samitis.
Boy, where is Gregory Whitehead when we need him? That's a name to be redone and remixed and remade, isn't it? Simar Melt. I'm not good at anagrams.
It'd be challenging to come up with something I hadn't heard.
You've heard lots of anagrams, yes. And you are the Waveform Artist in Residence this week. Just arrived from Los Angeles?
Yep.
Well, you were in Kingston first.
I was in Kingston. I flew up on Thursday.
And you're here to visualize radio interference or radio?
Yeah, working with microwave frequencies to visualize radio transmissions around the Wavefarm campus. But there will be audio components, too, that I'll be sharing on next Saturday's show.
You'll be hosting the Saturday afternoon show from 4 to 6 p.m. next week with examples of what you've been working on or a specific play, or what is it exactly you'll be doing?
We'll see, and we'll see what I produce here. I've got a couple ideas in mind. So,
and Thatcher, tell everybody who hasn't heard your show, what is your show like?
All right, I do a fair bit of jive talking. I lie a lot, as much as I can, on the air. I like doing field recordings. I like recording. I do a little bit of wild sound recording. I love getting little bits of stories and anecdotes, and I also love lists. So I get recordings of a lot of people's reading lists or giving me lists of what they have in their car or what's on their shelf or what they planted. I guess that would be springtime. Stuff like that. I load all the field recordings at the front end of the show. And then I play esoteric musics and I talk a lot.
And I guess on this show we ask everybody if you have an early radio memory. So we'll ask all three of you. But did something... Did you used to listen to the transistor radio with under your pillow before you went to sleep, or did you have a mother who only played the Eagles in the car on the 8-track?
I somehow knew that this was going to get asked, and I'm actually rather well prepared for it.
Oh, my goodness.
I certainly remember listening to Bohemian Rhapsody on WPLJ, the significant thing was I lived in the broadcast zone of PRB, the Princeton radio station, and I remember making tapes of stuff, and I remember one night they played some Estonian folk music, and on a cassette I recorded about 35 minutes worth of Estonian a cappella folk music. I listened to that over
and
over
again. One of
these
little rectangular cassette players?
Precisely. And and that was significant. I then spent a lot of time in the darkroom doing photographic work in darkrooms, and that's where I got into talk radio. My father, when Joe Frank first showed up in L.A., my father would tape me the Joe Frank at Midnight. So I have tape 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Can't watch television in a dark room.
Can't watch television. Well, I know people who did. You can put a red gel over a TV and watch it. And so then came Joe Frank and Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh and Bob Grant and the conservative revolution.
Well, the talk radio back then was like the politics in general wasn't as polarized. There was, you could hear Democrats and Republicans on the same show. Now you only hear the Republicans talking to themselves and the Democrats.
Yes, I think it's been monetized. But Bob Grant, and I started with Bob Grant before Rush Limbaugh showed up at ABC in New York, and he was—I mean, he was certainly conservative. He was certainly rightist, but he was sort of a thing onto himself. And then Rush came on and showed up, and then the whole marketability of conservative AM talk radio, syndicated AM talk radio, happened. And there are a couple of more really outrageous people, I think, on MCA. WOR and ABC, so whatever, early mid 80s or something like that. And that taught me a lot, and the power and the control that they had and the way that they could navigate and surf callers, just kind of blew my mind. So I don't know. That's radio.
That's a good early radio story. Sharon, do you have a good early radio story?
Well, I grew up in an Iranian family, and we used to listen to Radio Irani on Saturdays, which was just, it was probably broadcast out of LA, but I'm not sure. And it would just be an hour or two long program. But it was the only time that the radio was playing sort of throughout the house. And it was the only time, I'm going to relate it to, you know, when you, as a child, there's the overpass on the highway and it seems so cool. Like, how do people get there? And whenever you see people on the overpass, you're like, something bigger is going on in the world, that there are people who can be on the overpass. And it was, there are a few things in the world as a child that had that same sort of like magic, something else that I don't know about is going on feeling. And I think that listening to the Iranian radio station in that way, like, my family was cooler because, you know, usually we would just watch TV, like something else was going on. There was something for us, like a window. So that, and I also just used to listen to a lot of Z100. I used to love to wash my mother's car and wear shorts and listen to Z100 on a boombox in the driveway. That's something I love to do.
All right. Remus, you have a early radio story?
My interest in radio came a little bit later on, but I was studying music in college and was studying reggae music and learned how the island of Jamaica in the 60s was in this prime geographic location and radio technology was being developed and they could pick up radio stations from New Orleans and Miami. And so the music that was being broadcast from the United States was affecting the music that was developing in Jamaica. And that sort of sparked an interest in the relationship between radio borders and geographic locations. And so my interest in radio is there. And I'm really fascinated by where signals fade out and static comes in. And that sort of sparked broader interests in searching for aliens and radio telescopes and a variety of projects that I've done. So
is that how dub happened, that they would lose, the signal would drop out occasionally from New Orleans and Miami and there would be these dead spots and dub started that way?
I kind of have a hunch. I like to think that. I haven't read any academic research that verifies that, but it seems
there's a lot more about reggae starting from the confluence that you talk about, but I was taking it to the next step about dub and how that happened. But.
Yeah, and so some of the projects that I've done kind of play with that idea and use radio static and interference as sound effects for the music in a more esoteric form.
And Sharon, you didn't get to tell us about your backgrounds of some of the projects you're working on radio-wise. You want to give us a little introduction?
Yeah. Well, I just remembered when I saw when I first got excited about radio as an adult. I was living in San Francisco and I started volunteering for KALW, but at the same time I had a theater residency at a place called The Garage in San Francisco. And the first piece that I made with a friend was a dance piece, but I wasn't really a dancer, so she kind of took care of the dance and I took care of the sound design, which I saw that pile of radios that you have outside. I had gotten together a pile of radios from junk stores and also tape recorders. And I had just sort of, I really like sound in space in a very sort of literal way. So the tape recorders were set up all over the stage. And so the dance had to do with, I love blocking. And blocking as it relates to elements that you can't see. Because, you know, blocking is something that you very visually can, it's a very concrete use of space. Anyway, I was really into going from recorder to recorder, layering the sounds on top of each other. And that led to an interest. At the same time, I wanted to bring more like of the storytelling journalism stuff into stage work. So I got together with a couple of friends and we started this thing called Radio Cabaret, where we worked with a lot of people who were pretty strictly radio journalists and helped them bring their documentary work onto a stage, figured out a way to make it visual and layer the audio so it felt like it was being born of whatever was happening on the stage. But I also just, you know, I work for a lot of regular sort of interview type programs that you hear on the radio, like Here's the Thing and Studio 360, a couple of podcasts. There's a new WNYC podcast that I want to plug called Lies, hosted by Sarah Schaefer, which I produced and is really good.
Called Lies?
It's called Lies. It was made by Curtis Fox, and I worked on it, and Sarah Schaefer.
What is that about?
It's Terry Gross-style interviews with comedians, but the interviews are actually all lies. Nothing is true in the interview, so it's basically like a 15-minute improv sketch.
And Andy Kaufman is the first interview?
If only. Yeah. I think the first one is Jim Gaffigan.
And you're supposed to lie and say Andy Kaufman is the first. I set you up perfectly there.
Well, I know, and I saw the look on your face when I didn't take the bait, but I'm too literal. That's why I'm not on the show, but behind the scenes of the show.
Ah.
Andy Kaufman has a room over at the Hudson Station, and he actually is my board operator.
Nice save.
For all of my field recordings. And that's how I get such fabulous stuff, because of
the
stars.
Well, I've heard he's difficult to work with.
He he's got his nose in the bag. That's the problem.
That's what Lauren says anyway. Anyway, so do you have any radio shows people could listen to that you could tell them where to tune specifically soon, or... Or when is Lies? It's a podcast, so you can get it anytime?
Yeah, you can get it anytime. And the other show that I work on that I have to plug that I think is everybody in the world should be listening to, Audio Smut, hosted by my friend Caitlin Prest. And that is also downloadable on iTunes.
And tell folks about that show if they haven't heard that.
Audio Smut is... it's actually, they're just about to transition into a whole other project, but to get the podcast they've been doing so far, it's called Audio Smut, and it's a sex-positive show. The thing about it, though, is that the sound design is brilliant. It is a narrative show in the sense of...
You feel like you're really inside the...
You feel like you're inside the sex organs that are being talked about, so it's really delicious and yucky, so you should listen to it.
I don't have a sound effect button appropriate for that. See, that just doesn't do it.
That's during Safe Harbor. Safe Sex Harbor.
And how about you, Remus? Do you have anything that you can point people to? Any radio that people could listen to, or a website you could perhaps...
I have a few of my projects are on my personal site. It's rksim.com, and I'm looking forward to producing some more audio content and kind of expanding my practice in that area while I'm here at Wave Farm, creating some mixes. So Those will probably be on SoundCloud, I think. But yeah.
And what is how is LA radio these days?
LA radio is okay. What is the station out there? Is KCRW, go-to station in LA. And then there's some good college stations. There's one I've been listening to recently from broadcast out of Northridge. It's 88.9, and they have on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, it's kind of Latin jams all weekend long, which is always kind of fun to tune in and drive around and experience that.
Are there any pirates these days? Or there used to be one in Silver Lake, the K-Chung folks. You know those guys?
K-Chung, yeah. I actually was on a K-Chung show last year that was broadcast from the Hammer Museum. K-Chung had a residency going on. And then one of my friends is an artist, has a show. I think it's the first Sunday of every month. And I think we're going to be collaborating in November on a radio show on K-Chung. So.
All right. Yeah, we had Anna Elagio was here earlier from K-Chung in the summer doing a radio play on the air during her residency here.
Yeah, I haven't met her, but I'm introducing or being introduced to K-Chung, and I'm looking forward to working with them more.
And Thatcher, you look like you have your book of lists out now. Do you have any radio lists in there?
Well, like I said, I record a lot of people giving me their lists or lists that I found that I have them read for the radio. And I was trying to think of some dang radio project that I have that I could plug, and I have none other than my show.
But you're going to be in my movie. I made a movie where Thatcher is a radio DJ, and that's going to, it's called Group in the Catskills, and it'll be out probably
radio,
in a
you're
year.
Playing a radio DJ based in the Catskills.
Now, hyper local.
What sort of research did you do for that role?
Oral immersion. It was pure oral immersion.
You spent 7 days at the river radio station on 9G?
Morning Zoo. But that movie was the fact that I was a radio DJ doing this sort of hyper-local broadcast and interviewing. It was a movie. It's a movie about a cult, essentially. And one of the cult members was doing, as part of their cult projecting, doing a lot of hyper-local research, and I was doing this hyper-local radio show. So we just spent time sort of bantering about Catskill, Jewish Catskill comedy venues and stuff like that in history.
I'll tell a joke. He tells tons of jokes in the movie.
Yeah, I tell a ton of bad jokes, but there's this cultish thread that's sort of running, because I had met Sharon not at a radio event per se, but at this sort of, like I said, this sort of wannabe cult venue thing. So I have published this book of lists that I have found, made up, collected, or recorded, and in them I have a bunch of what is called in the book the self-help manifesto. My fantasy somewhere as I near the end of my life is to have a church of radio with me as the charismatic leader anyway. So I have a bunch of...
You want to replace Bob?
Subgenius Bob. One of the... Howl and Owl spends a lot of time in Columbia County. Anyway, so I have this list of church sayings. That's what I could go through. That was the only thing that I thought that I could plug. You want me to go through some of this stuff?
That sounds... delightful.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you the table of contents of the book is a list of some of the women that I've dated, a list of movie plots, a list of the bands that I've been in, a list of propaganda techniques, a list of drug brand names, the bars that I've owned, criminal types, the self-help manifesto, 12-step meeting names, imaginary pharmaceuticals, the books, my books and records, vanity plates, and then, of course, my DBAs, AKAs. Now, here's some of the self-help manifesto. Okay. Everything is possible. Nothing is guaranteed. Behavior, although not conscious, is always nevertheless intentional. Other people's opinion of me is none of my business. Conversely, I am under no obligation to tell others my opinion of them. You need to suffer, but you do not need to fear. I need to take what I need, but I need to give more than I take. Events are just events. It is only my perception of them that makes them good or bad. Never regret anything because at one time it was exactly what you wanted. And most important of all, shut the F up.
All right, that was brought to you by Bufferin.
As well as...
Are we Bufferin?
Grevalol, Synomulence, Aleterol, Comprendamil, Gerthafine, Bosamate, Stulafate, Deliberil, Infantilodine, Inanium, Putinestra, and Priapulence.
All right, who can follow that?
I had this sort of transcendent radio moment this summer. I took my son out west, and we went to go see the grandparents, and we went to the Grand Canyon, and we were coming back on 40 from Flagstaff back to Santa Fe, and the grandparents were asleep in the back seat, and it was sunset, it was dusk, my son was in the riding shotgun, as they say, probably on a screen or something. And on the AM radio, at dusk, in the high desert, on came broadcast Art Bell. And I had him for about seven or eight minutes, and there were three calls. There was a call, of course, about aliens. The second call was a call from someone calling up saying, "Hi, I'm the Antichrist." And Art took that, you know, as de rigueur. And then the third call was the greatest call. A woman called up and said, "Hi, Art, I have this problem. I have these small little silver clouds in my backyard, and they're reflective on the back, and they hover about 2.5 feet above the ground. I would like someone else who has this same problem to please call in and help me get rid of them." And then I passed a bona fide road-killed wolf, not a coyote. Tom, it was a wolf. Radio magic.
All right, you're listening to Saturday Morning Serial with our guests here, Sharon Mashihi. Am I saying it? How do I say it?
Well, I say Mashihi. I guess Mashihi. It's Mashihi if you're really putting the emphasis on the right syllable.
I'm going to put their emphasis on everybody's wrong syllables today. And Remus Semaltis?
Semitis.
Semalt.
Closer.
I'm getting better, slightly. By the end of the show... Oh, I see. You've got it turned upside down. I was reading it upside down. That's right. And Thatcher Keats, we left you out, Thatcher. What's happening with your show next issue, next episode, November?
All I do is I accumulate audio, and I t- tend to, over the course of the month, as I drive up and down the Taconic, I tend to try to collect a little bit of a playlist, but I no longer plan the shows out. I try to do...
But it depends on the material you find, surfing. Right?
Yeah, stuff tends to cluster. Stuff tends to cluster in the field recordings by subject matter or tone or disposition or something. And then because I take so many of my DJ cues from my Doug Shulkin, who was my sort of, I was the grasshopper. He was the perfect master. And so I sort of tend to cluster stuff the way he does, sort of by locality, or instrumentation or era.
He was a producer you worked with, or a radio?
No, he was an FM DJ. FMU DJ, Give the Drummer Some, for about 25 years.
Oh, Give the Drummer
Some,
yes, yes. Yeah,
he's a great DJ.
Yes, great show.
Great show. So that's all that I'll probably... In other words, I tend to not know what's going to happen on the air. But it will be on the first Sunday of the month.
And Remus, you've been searching around the local airways. What have you found so far?
I'm just getting started. I haven't found anything yet, but just arrived yesterday, so I'm looking forward to exploring all week and sharing what I find next Saturday.
And you're listening not just to FM, you're listening to shortwave and longwave and medium wave, or what length of wave are you trying to listen to?
Last night I was picking up some local ham radio repeaters that are around 145 megahertz, and I was trying to pick up some air traffic control that's around 120 megahertz.
Yeah, the local radio, the shortwave repeaters, they have a meeting on Tuesday night you can tune into at 7 p.m.
Great.
So so there's that. Anybody that wants to tune in, there's it's on the Rip Van Winkle Amateur Radio Club. If you looked at their website, there's a 7 p.m. Tuesday tune in.
I'll have to take a look.
And they meet monthly, too. I think the next meeting is not this Monday, but next Monday. You'll be gone before their next regular meeting in Churchtown. Is that where you are? Where are you, in Stuyvesant?
I'm in Valencia. I'm in Valencia now. I have been in Valencia and Kinderhook and Ghent, and those are the three towns that I have resided in, the holy trinity of Upper Columbia County, upper of northwestern Columbia County, perhaps we'll say.
And Sharon, do you have Hudson Valley roots, or are you just sweeping through to watch the leaves change?
I'm sweeping through to watch the leaves change. Can we just talk about whatever we want? Is this live?
It is live, and we can talk about whatever we want. We try to keep it radio-oriented in some ways, but any subject is game here.
Well, I've never been on live radio before, and I was trying to think of, like, who's listening, very specifically because I'm currently studying clowning. A friend of mine is making a film in a very process-oriented way, and I'm in the ensemble of the film, and so part of the process of making it, before she even writes the script, she's having the whole cast take clowning classes together. But the thing about clowning is that it's about a direct interaction with the audience. So whereas your typical stand-up comedian will sort of have their routine, and sure, they're feeding off of the audience, but they know what they're going in with, and they have a routine, they have a text. Clowns are really supposed to sort of completely strip themselves of any armor and integrity and plan and just give it to the audience. And the whole pleasure of being in an audience of a clown is that you are being seen by the clown. That's what you're there for. You're there for the clown to look into your eyes and for the clown to very directly react to your wants and needs. So if you're laughing, the clown will give you more of what's giving you that pleasure. And if you ain't laughing, the clown will do anything. The clown will slit their wrists. The clown will get naked. The clown will humiliate themselves to give you the pleasure that they're not giving you, waiting for the moment. And I'm just like, thinking of that in terms of radio, because there's no way for us to see the audience and give them what they want. Like, they could be miserable right now.
Well, I think that there is a high probability that there are some clowns listening right now. There are clowns that are putting together a yard sale for today at 210 Tanner's Lane in Hudson from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. The Bindlestiff Family Circus is selling off some costumes, vintage clothing, Stetson hats, wigs, crafts, jewelry, and other items. You can go to their Ring Mistress Philly's eBay page to see what's going to be there. But there could be some clowns listening. So if there are clowns listening, we have a couple minutes left in the show. They can call in at 518-622-2598 is the clown hotline.
Well, and that Bindlestiff yard sale, that's over by Clown Town right next to, it's near Stottville. It's next to Mimeville, isn't it?
They moved all the houses that were on the river next to Clown Town. So there's that encampment of, what was that? What was
right,
that?
Where the boat people were, right. Hudson was famous for a lot of things, prostitution and drugs and its failed attempt to be that. But it was an enormous vaudevillian ghetto. And actually, as I understand it, the retired fireman home was originally for retired, decrepit, insomniac, impotent vaudevillians.
I come from Tampa, and just below Tampa is a... What is the name of the town where all the clowns, the circus freaks move to?
Right.
It starts with a G. What is it? Above Sarasota.
Gainesville.
There's different freaks there,
different
yeah.
Different type of freak.
But yes, the clown home is
the retired clown
home. Yeah, you need to stay away from that if you have small children.
Yeah.
Oh, are you allowed to play music? Can you play Send in the Clowns?
We can mix that in. That sounds perfectly. If we're trying to get a clown to call... 518-622-2598 if there are any clowns listening to the radio at the moment.
Mimes count.
Clowns got to make a buck.
Oh, I think we do have a call from a mime right now. Let's see if we can get them on the air. Can you say something? Yeah, the mimes are not so good of interviews. So, but if we get a clown to call 518-622-2598, then that would be wonderful.
I go hunting with a mime. He's rather chatty. A little misanthropic, but...
I cream my pants for this song. Can you please? Sorry, that was too much for. Sorry, but I really do. I love this.
All right, any clowns out there? 518-622-2598. We're looking for red noses on the radio. Slide whistle.
Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns just when I'd start opening doors. Finally knowing the one that I wanted was yours. Making my entrance again with my usual flair. Sure. Thank you.
Are there any famous radio clowns? I can't think of any famous radio clowns.
I don't know if I can either.
I'm telling you, clowns are not made for the radio because you can't see your audience.
It was between vaudeville and television. There was like, it was the clown depression.
That was the clown depression.
I guess so.
It was an 80-year depression, but we're coming back.
There's Gilbert Gottfried.
Did he have time on the radio?
He sort of did pretty good guesting. He did a lot of Howard Stern guesting, and he did great. He did great appearances there.
I actually think that Howard Stern has many of the characteristics of a good clown. I think that's why he's been so successful.
He is our radio clown.
Yeah.
He does have a red nose.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Good point.
Bravo.
How many of them do you think can get out of a car at one time?
Isn't it rich? How many Howard Sterns are there?
Wait, how many clowns can you get out of a car, or how many Sterns?
How many clowns can you get out of Howard Stern? I think is probably the greater question.
Right.
Where will they
is there
be
one,
exiting?
Two, or three exits? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we had the... When we first moved here, we had a free 103.9 sign out on the property, and people kept driving by and stopping and saying, why do we hear Howard Stern? I think Howard Stern wasn't on the satellite then. He was on 103.9.
Oh, right, because he was broadcasting. Right.
We just had that name. It had nothing to do with the frequency here in this location.
That was the station that Stern used to broadcast on up here. Back when he was on terrestrial radio. What for him was low-paid radio.
I think he's considering coming back, I've heard.
What I've noticed is after years of that serious pay stuff, they're like, I think they're podcasting. You can stream it either live or the next day.
No, people hijack it. It's a whole thing. You can get it almost immediately, I think.
Yeah, but he has lawyers to shut that stuff down. What I did find, one of the great things, this is in L.A. stuff. I just, for whatever it's worth, my year in L.A. was just one of the greatest radio years of my life, and I recorded stuff on cassette, and I was living in a hut in the back of a yard, you know, whatever, the back of a yard, and I would just sit there with my transistor radio recording, and then I would splice stuff together and make spliced-in collages with Martin Luther King and Steve Reich and doo-wop, and all that morning becomes eclectic stuff. Great town. But... what I found about 2 weeks ago is the archive of Loveline, which was an L.A. show, the Dr. Drew Adams show, and I listened to driving last week, Iggy Pop giving relationship advice.
Wow.
Oh, God, it was so great. And he was so sweet and so gentle. And what a kind, loving, attentive man. God bless radio.
All right, that'll just about do it for Saturday Morning Serial. We want to thank our guests whose names I can't pronounce. Thatcher Keats. I got that one right. All the syllables correct.
Good work.
Thatcher Keats. There's only three syllables. You got the easy name. Yeah. Sharon Mashie. You got to just jump in and go fearlessly, not hesitate. If you start hesitating in the middle of the syllable, then you're
erase
just going
to... Erase the void, Tom.
So, oh, I erased the secret... I erased my secret pronunciation guide.
Remus.
Remus.
This is a test.
I'll never get it right now. What is it?
Semitis.
Remus Semitis?
Not Remus, Remus. And then just think of the tires plus a semi-mitis. Semitis.
Boy, that's a lot of thinking to do
think
to pronounce.
Arthritis.
I only want to do very little thinking when I pronounce
arthritis.
It. On
that's
Saturday morning.
I don't want to think at all when I'm pronouncing. I just want to just say it. And if I think about it, that's what the problem is. I start thinking about it, and then I start pronouncing it like Uncle Remus.
The proper Lithuanian pronunciation is Remas Shemaitis, so I'm letting you off easy.
All right, that signals the end of our show. Thank you, everyone.